I want to return only for this week and next week. I'm going to continue on our study in Psalms, and I'm going to break it for a little bit over the month of December. And we'll take a look at some other things during the month of December. I think there's an event that comes in December. I forget what it is. But we'll try to focus around that event. And then we'll maybe come back to the Psalms. But I think it'd be good to have a little bit of a break. The Psalms give us a wonderful journey through our own souls. And Psalm 67 is where we're going to be looking this morning. And it's a short psalm. And I want to remind you again of, because I'm going to read them, those little words, Selah, in them, is a little bit like a musical rest. You know, the little hat that's either on top of the line or in the bottom of the line. And the guy that's on the top of the line, I think he stays the whole time. And if I got that backwards, I'm not very good. Anyway, the word Selah is a little bit like a rest, but it's not just stop. It's think about it. Let's stand and let's read together Psalm 67. You follow and I'll read. And may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase, and God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. The word of the Lord. Let me pray. Father, shine your face upon us now, we pray. That we might see your glory. That we might understand your grace. That we might see Jesus. That we might come to you with renewal of our faith. And that we might know that your word guides us for all of life. So, Father, come. Take us into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The idea of blessing and of shining is not always an easy idea. I think Gus did a pretty good idea, had a pretty good idea, trying to show what a shining face was. And if you could have seen his hands going like this, that's about as good as you can get. I mean, how do you make your face shine? It is what it is, right? But in Christ, our face isn't just what it is. It's something different. It's something greater. And that's actually what this psalm leads us to. But the idea of blessing, secondly, is a difficult concept to fully get. And as we come into Psalm, these two ideas are coming together. And I'm going to break it apart for you a little bit. But in order to do that, I need to show you a Christmas gift that my grandson, my youngest grandchild, gave to me a couple Christmases ago. It's been on my dresser. You probably can't see it. But it says, it's a medal. It says, number one, Baba. And for Christmas, he said, Baba, I want to give you this medal. He was into medals at that time, you know, giving medals. So I was standing up. He said, no, I can't put it on you. You have to bend over. So I bent over, and he put this over my head, and there it was, number one, Baba. So, what is a blessing? He blessed me. But in order to receive the blessing, I had to bend over. So, a blessing is not only a something, but it's also a posture. It's a relationship. we can look at it to say, well, who is blessed and what is received? So there are multiple ways that we can look at blessing, and this psalm is doing this. And we are asking the question when we read the psalm, what is it I'm asking God to do? When the psalmist says, and when we say as we read it, may God be gracious to us and bless us, what do we mean? And when the psalmist ends and says, let the people praise you, let all the people praise you, it is basically saying, because it's a similar word in the Hebrew, let the peoples bless you. How do we bless God? God who is greater, we who are his creatures, how do we bless him? Is it possible? So that's why we have the psalm. And I want you to walk through the psalm with me. We are blessed. Verse 1 says, may God be gracious to us, and may he bless us, and make his face shine upon us. So what is that blessing? Well, it is a place of refuge. And we've seen that in the Psalms. It's a place. You know, we have built fortresses right here. We've gotten under fortresses right here. You've seen that. You've been a part of that. It's not just a place. The dwelling of a congregation in a building, as we have, that is a place. When we go home, it ought to be a place. But our hearts, our lives are a place. So God says, I will make you a place of refuge. And when we ask, may God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face to shine upon us, we're saying, Lord, make us a place. Give us a place of refuge. Give us a comfort in the time of distress. When we don't know what to do, speak to us and show us the way. When we have no hope, when we're uncertain, give us that hope. That's pretty practical, isn't it? Lord, we don't know who your under shepherd is. And we can get discouraged about that. But Lord, give us hope in that. Now, what do we hope in? Is it just a wish? Maybe one day? And we think, well, maybe the search committee is going to, you know, get together and all of a sudden God's going to blow a name onto their desk. Wouldn't it be nice? The search committee would probably like that. You know, Lord, just blow a name onto us and we'll take that. A direction in times of confusion. God's promised it. We're praying for it. We're seeing it. It's right here. May God be gracious to us. May he bless us. May he cause his face to shine upon us. It's that. It's that guidance in the time of weakness. It's that certainty in the time of uncertainty. It's that forgiveness in the time of sin and shame. It's the washing of our hearts and our faces and our lives. That God says, I will bless you, and that's the blessing that he gives. He blesses us with every spiritual blessing in Christ, Scripture says. And that is the end of the curse. It's the end. We talked this morning in adult Sunday school about fulfillment of the law. Another way of looking at the fulfillment of the law is that Christ didn't just fulfill the law, he ended the curse. It's so much greater than just saying, well, I ticked off all the laws. I did this one, I did this one, I did this one, I did. It's not that. He broke the curse. He ended it for us. He ended it for me. He ended it for you. It is no more. And that's why we can see and hear God say, he will cause his face to shine upon us. So the shining face of God is offered to you. It's offered to me. It's his blessing. And the only question is, are we walking in that blessing? Are we walking in that light? Or have we left it? Have we asked for it? Have we embraced it? When God gives it, do I hear it? Do I follow it? But it's not just about verse 1's blessing me. And that's really what verse 1 talks about. Although the me is a collective me. It's a me and you. It's a you and me. It's a us. May the Lord and may God be gracious to us. And may He bless us and make His face to shine upon us. Us, us, us. But then the psalmist turns and helps us understand that others are blessed. It's not a private blessing. It's not something that I get to keep. That's what it means when God causes His face to shine upon me. Moses could not be in the presence of God for 40 days and come away unchanged. And if we are in God's presence, we cannot go away unchanged. So the blessing isn't just for me. Moses didn't come down from the mountain and say, "Wow, that was really cool. I had this great experience. Why don't the rest of you go up there too?" Because they would have said, "That's why we got a fence around here. God said not to." Right. So what's Moses going to do? Say, "Well, I guess I'm just more spiritual than the rest of you." No. It was for the people. It was for the people. God's way, verse 2, is what we have. "That your way may be known on the earth, that the earth might know God's way." Justice and mercy. And justice is this multiform word. It's distributive. All right. There's a distributive sense of justice. Everybody gets a piece. Everybody gets something of God's grace. Everybody gets something of God's love. We tend to be set up in a global society where there's not distributive justice. Some get a lot. A lot get a few and a little. And so that injustice and distribution is one way of looking at justice. But justice can also be procedural, that we do things in the right way. We do things at the right time. There's a process. Our legal system is supposed to be just because there is a procedure. You don't just take the law into your own hands and do what you want. There's a process. So justice is that. Justice might be retributive. It might be, if I have failed, if I have broken something, if I've damaged something that belongs to you, I need to restore. There can be a restorative part of it. Retributive might just be, well, you stole from me, I'll steal from you. So what is justice? God says it's His way. That you're saving power among all nations. Among all nations. So there's this global sense, and we can't really get our hands around it. It was really helpful this last month to have a beginning sense again of the spread of the Roman Empire and of what it was that spread that power. It was not a glorious power. It was a vicious, vile, ugly power that got spread. Violent, bloody, and it went all over the world. They were victorious. It was amazing to stand under these enormous victory arches, to recognize that the whole of society was often characterized by victory. And victory wasn't just, "I got my way." Victory was, "I'm alive and you're dead. You're my servant. I'm the master." And that was the Roman Empire. But Scripture here says, "Let all peoples praise you among all the nations." So there's this something that's greater. It was not the Roman Empire. It was greater than the Roman Empire, an empire that has never been seen or understood. Look at verse 3. All the peoples respond in praise. God's saving power. In verse 4, "Let the nations be glad. Let the nations sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and you guide the nations on the earth." So here it is, Jeshua. It's my Jesus, but it's your Jesus. From my sin, from our sin, from my commission, from my failing to do what God wants me to do, that's my omission, from the consequences, God's power, God's glory, God's presence is what this psalm is telling us. God will go before us. It is in the fullness of Jesus Christ. that my sin is forgiven. That the consequences are not just ticking off the laws that Moses brought from the mountain. It's that God will write into my life His holiness through Jesus Christ. That's what is seen. I can wash a muddy face. I think I did. I'm not sure, because I still haven't seen in the mirror. So I may have a spot up here. I may have a spot over here. I don't know. It's you to tell. But Christ washes not our face, but He washes all of us clean. And it's that holiness that He presents then to the nations. And He says, you are my witness. You are my shining face. Does that give you a different sense of who you are? You are God's shining face to the world. That's what the world sees. It's God, it's Christ in you. It's Christ renewing you. It's Christ making you somebody that you didn't think you could be. So God gives us in Christ a new identity. Suppose for a minute that we didn't have the kind of national division that we have been developing over the last few years. Fortunately, we've gotten through this, I think, the question of vaccine and not vaccine. At least we're not as angry about it anymore with each other. We've been able to accommodate people who wear masks and people who don't wear masks. And that's okay. We need to take care of each other. We need to take care of ourselves. We're able to get beyond making some of these issues divisive issues. But imagine if we were to go a little bit farther into what this text talks about in the nations. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. What would that look like? What would God's church look like without Africa? What would God's church look like without South America? What would God's church look like without all of Asia? We can sit here in Relay and say, well, maybe God's church looks like us. Maybe it looks just like us. Really? Well, I don't think so. So here's the challenge. I did a little homework on this. If you were to look at the Catonsville and Arbutus area, what does it look like? Well, in the 2010 census, there was a 76% of people that looked like me, had my kind of color of face. And there was about 10% that were black and about 8% that were Asian. And if you put everybody else together, you'd have about 2 or 3%. Hispanic population is growing a little bit more. By 2020, people look like me were 70%. People that look like everybody else started to be 30%. And if you start to chase this through the city of Baltimore, that's what we have. And God says to us, what would it happen if all the peoples were to praise my name? Would we look different? I think as a congregation, we might look different. And God is doing something in our midst. And if you haven't seen it, you've missed it. The announcement came this morning. 30 people registered in our ESL. 30 people. God's doing something. And if you're not a part of that something, you're missing it. Because 30 people mean they're not people that look like me. They're people that don't have my language. They're people that don't have my face. And what's happening is God's saying, I'm giving to you, GRPC, I'm giving to you, people of grace, a window to the world. I will bring the world to you if you can't get to them. Now be my face. Shine. So we had that announcement. We need some more teachers. If you can't, find somebody. Because we've got to recruit each other. I don't care how you do it, but God is moving in this place, in this way. And if we don't follow Him, we've missed it. We can't ask, Lord, make me a blessing in some generic way. This, if God places it in front of us, He says, walk on it. Go through the door. I've opened it. 30 people. Now, what do you do with 30 people? You're going to come and say, well, I don't know how to teach English. Do you have a conversation? No, I can have a conversation. When you're done with the conversation, can you befriend somebody and say, I'd like to meet you for coffee this week. Would you come to my house for dinner? It doesn't end in that moment. That's just the doorway. We just get through it. And God says to you, I will shine my face on you and through you, and you will be my face that will shine to the world. Brothers and sisters, God has given a doorway. I'm excited. Please press into it. Pray into it. This is a unique opportunity. These ESL classes, there are a lot of churches that have tried it. There are a lot of places. And they found that their numbers are going down, down. Some of them have stopped because local libraries are doing it. God's saying to us at Grace, I give you this opportunity. And I want to say, don't blow it. It's fantastic. Encourage it. Pray for it daily. Pray for the outcomes. Pray for the secondary relationships that might come. Enter into it. Engage with it. Let it enrich your life. That's what would happen. The nations come to us. The third part of this psalm picks up at verse 5. And it's the blessing of God. God is blessed. I struggle with that. I'll be honest. How can I bless God? But it's what it says. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. It's my praise that gives blessing to God. It's my allowing God's presence in my life, His holiness, that transfuses my life, my words, my thoughts, and presents them to the world around me. That is God's presence. And when God's presence is made known, I have blessed God. I have praised God. The only way I can praise God is by revealing Him. And His being revealed in the world around me, in my family, in my life, in my friends, is when I embrace them in the name of Jesus Christ. When my face, when my heart that has been cleaned is presented to a world in need, a world that's confused, a world that's uncertain, a world that's divided. And when my heart is different, when I can embrace, when I can love, when I can be forgiven, God says, He's praised and He's blessed. What's amazing about it is that God actually has to bend over to receive our praise. And I don't understand that. Why does God even want it? Why would God even ask me to praise Him? But He does. And it gives me hope. It gives me a sense of God's given identity. I think that happened with my grandson when he triumphantly, with a shining face, crowned me with a ribbon. If I can bend over and receive a piece of aluminum foil from my grandson, imagine God bending over to hear our words of praise, to walk with us into our community, to walk with us as we minister to each other and receive praise. That's what He calls us to praise Him. The people's praise, all people's praise, the praise of our voices, the multiple languages, the praises of our lives, the interaction of those lives, the praises of our actions as we work in our community. We're going to have, over these next 6 weeks, probably 2 months, enormous opportunities to walk with our community. I want you to take this psalm and have it emblazoned on your heart, because it doesn't matter if it's going to be the process of our ESL. It doesn't matter whether it's going to be our opportunities to perhaps serve RUFI, RUF rather, in their friends, what are we calling it? Friendsgiving, not Thanksgiving, but Friendsgiving, to work with them in that. It doesn't matter if it's through the Christmas time, through the Living Nativity. Let God be praised as we open our hearts and say, this is my service to the King. And I believe, as we serve the King, God will provide the under-shepherd that we yearn for. Serve the King. Walk with the King. Shine the King's face upon the world. Let that be your soul calling, your soul desire. And God will bless you. And the psalm comes all the way around. God blesses us. God allows us to bless the nations. And we reveal and bless God. So pray for each other. Pray for the session. Pray that we might walk in a way that will bring this kind of blessing of God to our world, to our community, to our city. Our city is changing. Our understanding of who we are as the people of God is going to change. If in 10 years our population has shifted so much just in this small, we're not talking about a lot of people here in this Catonsville relay area. If it shifted that much, take that trajectory. It's going to shift a lot more in the next 10 years. God is not asking us to prepare for what we need today. He's asking us for what we need to prepare for 10 years from now. That is the calling. And all of us might not be around, but all of us today have that calling to prepare the people of God, the place of God, the certainty of God for the world that God will call to Himself. In 10 years. If that doesn't change the way you pray for the work of the session, for the work of the search committee, I don't know what else to do. Pray for them. Pray that God will be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, through us, and reflect His glory. Selah. Father, hold our hearts. Our hearts have often gone astray. We've wandered each to our own way. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we feel sorry for others. Sometimes we've just lost a focus. Sometimes we've taken our eyes off of your face, the way Peter did. And we get out of the boat, but we sink. Father, forgive us because we have not held to your promise. And this is your promise, that in Jesus we will be blessed. In Jesus, we will be cleansed and we will be made a blessing to the nations. And when we are, then we bring blessing and praise to you. Lord Jesus, you know, because you see our faces. You don't just see our faces, you see our hearts. You hear the thoughts of our hearts. And you know the mud that's there. Lord Jesus, cleanse us. Shine through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.